This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Center for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
Hi, I'm Jean-François Robitaille from Jodrell Bank Observatory. Today, we have the pleasure to have the visit of Jason McEwen from the Mullard Space Science Laboratory, the MSSL. Jason is a specialist in sophisticated multiscale analysis technique applied in astrophysics. So Jason, can you introduce your work a little bit?
Sure. Thanks. Very happy to be here. Yes, I'm a researcher, lecturer at MSSL, the Mullard Space Science Laboratory at UCL, just outside of London. So I do a lot of work in what people commonly call astrostatistics, and more recently also astroinformatics. And so the idea of these fields is to really lean on techniques developed in statistics or mathematics or computer science, and how we can use these kind of techniques to pull information out of large and complex astrophysical observations and data sets. So really trying to use these techniques to get new scientific insights from these types of observations.
I believe that you're planning to apply these techniques to the future SK. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. So we've been working on various types of statistical and mathematical analysis techniques in many areas of astrophysics, the SKA, one particular notable example. So there we've been using techniques called wavelets, which are a particular type of mathematical analysis tool, quite topical at the moment because one of the pioneers of wavelet theory was recently awarded what's called the Abel Prize, which is essentially a kind of Nobel Prize for mathematics awarded by Norway. So Eve Meyer was one of these early pioneers of wavelet theory in the 70s and 80s, developing these complex mathematical analysis techniques to essentially pull structure out of data. So wavelets, for example, are used in image processing, the JPEG 2000 standard for compressing your typical digital images. Uses wavelets at the heart of it. So we've been using wavelets to study various types of physical signals, from looking at what's called the cosmic microwave background, the relic radiation from the Big Bang, through to various different epochs in the evolution of the universe, looking at dark matter and dark energy in the more recent evolution of the universe. And the thing I'd like to talk about today is using these kind of techniques to access the image that are made from large radio telescopes. So these large radio telescopes, like the Square Kilometer Array or the SKA, don't directly measure an image on the sky. They collect raw data, and from that raw data, we need to do a lot of processing to recover the actual image of what we're looking at on the sky. Basically, synthesizing a single telescope from lots of separate telescopes. So radio telescopes are comprised of lots of different dishes or an antenna, and we have to model them in such a way to kind of synthesize one very large telescope. This is how we get really high resolution observations today. And this is the mode of operation of the SKA. So these data processing challenges are very significant, in particular for the SKA to scale up to the huge data rates that we expect. So for SKA, the data rate is going to be something similar to the amount of global internet traffic that we have today. And SKA, you know, should start coming online around 2020 or the early 2020s. So we really need to urgently prepare for these huge volumes of data that we're collecting and develop robust and efficient methods for recovering images from these telescopes. So we've been working on developing techniques that build on top of wavelet approaches with theory called compressive sensing. And so we've been developing compressive sensing techniques to recover images from radio telescopes like the SKA in preparation for the SKA when it arrives. So one particular thing we've been focusing on is not only making sure we get the best quality images possible, but also ensuring that we can handle these really huge data rates of the SKA. And the way we're doing that is designing our algorithms such that we can really exploit really distributed and parallelized computing infrastructure that is now becoming available.
Okay, and as I understand it, the wavelets can help you with the sparsity of the data that will be collected by the SK as well?
Yes, exactly. So when we try and recover images from these observations, we actually don't have all the information we need to get an image out. And there are lots of possible images that could describe the observations that we make. And so we typically have to put in some additional assumptions about what are our standard types of astronomical images. And with astronomical images, as with digital images, it turns out that often these types of images can be represented in a sparse manner in a wavelet representation. Okay. And that really just means that in this wavelet representation, many of the pixels of the image, if you like, are zero. And so we only have a few non-zero pixels, which gives us a way to really impose some kind of structure on these images and make sure we get very good quality images out of radio telescopes like the SKA. One other thing that we're focusing on is how to combine these wavelet and compressed sensing approaches with a statistical interpretation. So historically, we get images out of these huge radio telescopes, and we use these to do scientific studies, but we don't really know how accurate these images are at this stage. We don't have any information about the flux level that we measure in an individual pixel, for example. How accurate is that? Current methods don't capture that. So we've also been trying to link together these different fields of astrostatistics on one hand and astroinformatics on the other hand to combine informatics and statistical approaches so that we can get some idea of the errors or the uncertainty on the images that we get out of these radio telescopes. So we want to do things like look at structure in an image and try and ascertain, is that physical object on the sky or is that some artifact of the observational process? And we want to make precise statistical statements so we can be confident that we're looking at physically meaningful structure. So this is another thing that we've been working on recently.
Okay, so that's very interesting. It's not only for reconstructing your image from the multiple telescopes that the SKA represent, but also it allows you to measure the confidence or the structures itself.
Exactly, and this is becoming increasingly important because I've heard cases in the past where some theoretician had an exotic new type of model of some physical phenomenon. And in this case, it was some model of how supernova explode. And they looked at some of these images out of radio telescopes, and they saw these concentric circles, which they thought could have been multiple explosions of a supernova. This would be very strange. We don't have, we've never seen this type of event before. But this particular researcher had a theory that could describe how that process could happen. So they were very excited. They wrote a paper up about this over the weekend as soon as they got these results. Then they came in next week to speak to their colleagues, and actually someone who works with these types of data sets all the time told them that actually this is just an artifact of the reconstruction process. So fortunately, in that case, these two people spoke together and it was realized that this wasn't physically meaningful structure. But really, we can't rely on those types of interactions in the future. We're going to have such huge data sets doing very complicated scientific analyses. We really need to have an automated, robust way of doing this full scientific analysis. And this is the type of approach that we're working towards for the SKA and other radio telescopes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your visit.
Thank you.